You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Okay, with opening day just a few days away, teams are starting to shore up their rosters, getting ready for the regular season. I'm Allison Twitter, and I'm here to talk about the Angels with Alden Gonzalez, who has been following the plight of the pitching staff for the entire spring. So, Alden, let's start off with some news. The Angels have added a couple of not huge names, but maybe some reinforcements for their pitching staff. So tell us what they did with that.
Yeah, the Angels recently, they traded for left-handed starting pitcher Chris Jones from the Orioles, gave up a couple of low-level prospects. And then on Wednesday, they were finalizing a minor league deal with Kyle Kendrick, which hadn't been announced yet, but Kyle Kendrick got released by the Braves in the middle of March, had a really rough spring, and he had a really rough season last year, albeit it came with while pitching half of his games in the thin air of Coors Field. But he's rotation depth for them, both of them are, in AAA. And it's kind of, you know, I think the significant thing to take away from that is it's just kind of indicative of the kind of spring that they've had with their rotation. We went into the year, you know, thinking that their rotation was going to be their pillar, their strength this season, just because they had some quality depth there. But you know, C.J. Wilson has not resumed playing catch yet. The Angels are hopeful that maybe he could start doing that by opening day. Tyler Skaggs looked good when he returned to the mound recently, but, you know, he's still got a few starts left in him before he could, you know, face major league competition in an actual game during the regular season. And, you know, as of right now, I mean, as I speak, Jared Weaver is throwing in a minor league game, and he gave up a three-run home run in the first inning. You know, it's still a little iffy with him as well. So, you know, there are a lot of questions with the rotation. I think the Angels just felt like they need some depth there to cover them. So that's kind of where they're at right now.
Okay. So that leads us up to the bold predictions. So we're just having our reporters give us some bold predictions that could possibly happen in 2016. Maybe not. Some are outlandish. Some are pretty reasonable. But let's start with yours. Of course, I love this first one. Tyler Skaggs being a big piece of the rotation down the stretch. So that would be good for everybody, including Tyler Skaggs.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Tyler Skaggs, you know, people, you know, forget about him because, you know, he's been out for so long. But, you know, he made the Angels rotation as a 22-year-old. And he took his turn every 5 days before he tore the ulnar collateral ligament in his elbow and underwent Tommy John surgery. He's still only 24 years old. He's 6'4". He's a little bit more filled out. He's still got great stuff. And he's had more than enough time to recover from that procedure. He's been pretty much a full 19 months since he underwent Tommy John surgery. And the Angels are being careful with him, as they should. But this is a guy who I really expect to factor heavily into the season. Now, when his season begins remains to be seen. I feel like he's still on track to join the rotation before the end of April. But he will be on an innings limit. It's going to be, I was told, it's going to be somewhere between 165 to 175 innings. So the fact that he's taken a little bit longer to begin his season is actually a good thing, because the last thing the Angels want is to be competing for a spot in the playoffs and to have to shut down somebody like Tyler Skaggs. And I feel like Tyler Skaggs is good enough that the Angels are going to want him taking the ball when they're in a pennant race, if they're in a pennant race, and if they get into the playoffs.
Yeah, I was reading some of the coverage that you had written about him, and I thought it was interesting that he was talking about kind of how isolating and kind of lonely it is when you're recovering, when you're rehabbing for Tommy John surgery, like just to be kind of on the outside of things. And you don't really think about that, but it's got, for somebody who has the talent to compete at the major league level and has, and then it's taken away from him for, you know, a pretty significant amount of time, that would make him, I guess, that much more motivated to just get back in the mix of things.
Yeah, and I Tyler's talked about there being some, you know, rough stretches there in that rehab. You know, Patrick Corbin talked about how it feels like the team forgets about you. And, you know, Tyler Skaggs made sure he showed every home game so that he showed his face around the team. And, you know, he was lucky that he was able to lean on somebody like Patrick Corbin, who's with the Diamondbacks now. He came back from Tommy John surgery in the middle of last summer. And those guys, they came up together. They were drafted the same year. They roomed together throughout the minor leagues. They were traded together to the Diamondbacks. And they kind of stayed in touch while Tyler was coming back. You know, Tyler talked about how the roughest points in his return were days where he would get off the mound. This is obviously late in his rehab. He'd get off the mound and, you know, the ball wasn't coming out of his hand well, especially when he was trying to throw curveballs. And then the next day he would show up and his arm was just incredibly sore because he was just not used to anything like that. And he remembers recalling several times throughout the rehab process, like, is this ever going to feel right? Is it ever going to be 100%? And I feel like everybody who is recovering from Tommy John surgery goes through something like that. But I think Tyler feels like he's finally kind of past that already. I don't feel like he considers himself rehabbing anymore. The fact that he's pitching in games, he'll probably pitch 3 innings at some point this weekend. He feels like he's back to being an actual pitcher now. And to him, that means everything.
Okay, so let's move on to your next prediction, which, I think, I'm not sure if I agree. In my opinion, I just feel like the Angels are not going to have a very good season. And maybe I'm just being a little too hard on them, but I just see too many things, I guess, really wrong with the rotation. But you, in both predictions, you say they could swing a major deal at the trade deadline, which would indicate that they're in the AL West race. I will say that the AL West, I find it to be one of the weaker divisions, so that could happen. But you have to think that they'll be somewhere in a stone's throwing distance of being a contender.
I do, Allison. You're throwing a wet blanket on the Angels team right now. Amazing.
I know. So I don't know what's wrong with me, but I picked them last on my podcast with Will Leach, so I hope people don't throw things.
Wow. Well, I mean, I see where you're coming from. And, you know, the questions are obvious, and I think the most prominent ones come from a depth standpoint because they obviously have the worst-ranked farm system in the major leagues, and they had to kind of fabricate that depth by picking up guys through waivers, signing guys on minor league contracts. I think that's the biggest question. I think the Angels, more so than any other team, can't afford injuries on the position player side because they don't really have guys to fill in. Now, Billy Epler has raved about kind of the guys that they've added over the offseason. A lot of guys had good springs. And I know that the rotation doesn't look good right now, but the rotation was the one part of their team where they could actually absorb some injuries. The lineup has actually looked pretty good. I know you don't put a lot of stock, or you shouldn't put a lot of stock into spring training numbers, but you're starting to get the sense that maybe this lineup is not as bad as people thought, and that maybe they're going to be able to set the table for Mike Trout a little bit better. Maybe it's going to be a little bit deeper. Maybe they're going to do a better job of situational hitting. I'm not saying the Angels are going to be a world beater this year, but I do think the Angels are good enough to stay in the race. And I think when the end of July comes, unlike last year, I feel like if they're in the race, I think they're going to try to make a move to kind of put them over the hump. Last year, they were kind of in it toward the end of July, but that was kind of weeks after Jerry Depoto resigned. And I don't think they wanted to kind of mortgage the future for a rental. They could have gotten somebody like Yoenis Cespedes, but they didn't pull the trigger. I think this year they can do that. If C.J. Wilson comes back, he's heading into the last year of free agency. Once he returns and if Weaver produces a little bit and Tyler Skaggs is back, they're going to have that rotation depth that we spent the entire offseason talking about, that's finally going to start to show up. And they could trade from that at that point to get any offensive pieces or bullpen pieces that they may need. And that's why I feel like come July, I feel like they're still going to be in the race. And I feel like they're going to have the pieces to make the kind of move that they're going to need for the last 2 months.
Okay, so that leads us to your third bold prediction, which is what you touched on. And when you have the best player on the planet playing on the team that we're talking about, then this can absolutely happen, but the offense will be pretty good. I don't think anybody can argue that, but there's certainly, you could argue that Albert Pujols may struggle a little bit with injuries, but overall you like the look of this lineup.
It's better than you think, and I think, and I can't overstate this enough, Allison. It all hinges on what kind of Daniel Nava they get. If they get the Daniel Nava that the Red Sox got from 2012 to 14, this lineup is actually pretty good because they have Yunel Escobar leading off, who, you know, you can say what you want about Yunel Escobar. One thing he's always done throughout his career is get on base. He knows how to get on base. And if Daniel Nava is hitting second and also getting on base like he has throughout his career, then all of a sudden you got two guys in front of Mike Trout that can get on base and allow him to drive in more runs. There were over 100 players last year that had more plate appearances with runners in scoring position than Mike Trout. That simply cannot happen. And if Daniel Nava is right and he's hitting second, that makes Cole Calhoun bat fifth and C.J. Cron bat sixth. And all of a sudden, this lineup starts to look a little bit deeper. And a lot of people that I talked to on the Braves, people that I talked to on the Angels, feel like Andrelton Simmons is at this age where he should be better offensively. He's 26 years old. He's a guy who does not strike out at all. He had the second best strikeout percentage in the major leagues last year. And he's got quick hands. His bat stays through the zone a long time. People feel like Andrelton Simmons should be better offensively. And if he's a guy who's batting in the bottom third of your lineup, then this could be a pretty deep lineup. I don't think they're going to be anything close to that world-beating lineup that they had in 2014. But if Daniel Nava is right, it kind of lengthens their lineup a little bit, and I think they'll be better than maybe people thought they would be.
Okay. We're going to revisit this. Well, we're going to talk a lot this season. But we will revisit this.
You sound skeptical, Alex.
No, I will happily eat crow if the Angels end up in like third place, let's say. That would be wonderful. So, Alex, thank you so much, and we will enjoy opening day. We'll talk to you next week.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.